AFR app is a powerful tool, but it does have limitations. You can't use it to change the oil in your vehicle or get rid of carpet stains. It won't walk the dog, won't pick up the dry cleaning, or take the kids to practice. But while you're doing those things, you can listen to your favorite AFR content through the app on your phone, smart device, or Roku. Just go to your app store or visit AFR.net. Listen to AFR wherever you go with the AFR app.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Good Tuesday morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Hope you're having a good morning. It is Election Day in America, and I wanted to read to you James 1:5, a good Election Day verse for voters. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. We need to cast votes that are wise votes. We need to vote for candidates that are more closely aligned than the others to biblical values. And I would encourage you, if you don't know who to vote for, go to ivoterguide.com. That is a great tool that is run by Walker Wildman, ivoterguide.com, and you can look and see what the candidates believe in and who's the one that more closely aligns with biblical values. Sometimes, you know, you have two people, like in Texas, we had people that we were voting for, different Republicans, and it's like, well, I like this guy, I like this person, and so, you know, it's not always, well, this person is an apostle and this person is an agent of Satan. It's not always like that. And so go to ivoterguide.com and you can get some help with that. Well, it is day four of Operation Epic Fury, or as the Israelis call it, Operation Roaring Lion. Six American soldiers have been killed in this conflict with Iran, and we are praying on a regular basis for the protection of our armed forces and for wisdom for our president and vice president and Marco Rubio and Pete Hegseth and all those involved, and praying for wisdom for Israel and Benjamin Netanyahu. And I've asked a good friend of mine, Gary Frazier, Gary, who is an author and a speaker and the founder of Discovery Ministries. But Gary is a prominent Bible prophecy and Middle East expert. He has studied the scriptures concerning the second coming of Jesus Christ and what is going on. He keeps abreast of what is going on in the Middle East and what is going on with Israel. And I've asked him to come on the program and talk through some of these things to help us understand better this conflict with Iran. So, Gary, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Jeff. It's always a joy to be with you, my friend.
Well, I appreciate you, and I appreciate your insights. I know, Gary, you've been concerned and focused on the Middle East for, gosh, the last, what, 40 years, 50 years?
Absolutely. Since 1971, my first journey to the land of the Bible, and I've been a former pastor, of course, obviously, and a student of Scripture all these many years. And so today, as we're, you know, looking at what's happening here, I think, first of all, Jeff, we ought to talk about, you know, what we know, and then follow that by what we think we know, okay?
Okay.
So here's what we know real quick like. First of all, we know that America is not the center of God's universe. Deuteronomy 11 tells us, the eye of the Lord is upon the land of Israel from the former rains to the latter rains. So the land of Israel is the focal point of God, and has been for ever since Genesis 12:3. But the bottom line here today is that we know that ultimately God has made a covenant with the nation of Israel through Abraham first, David, the king of Israel, second to that. And this is a covenant that is unconditional, and that God is going to keep his word. And his word is that the Jewish people will never be cast out of their land again. And we also know that God's future plan involves his dealing with the unbelief of the Jewish people concerning how they reacted and responded to Jesus, as well as how Gentiles have treated the Jews through the centuries. So God is certainly, as Paul reiterates in Romans 9 through 11, God is not finished with the Jewish people. He loves them. He cares for them. And then uniquely, the church, the bride, he cares for us as well. But beyond that, taking one more step, we have to recall that there's a great revival that broke out in Iran several years ago. People by the thousands are coming to saving faith in Christ in Iran. Now, you never hear about that in the media, but that is, in fact, taking place and has been now for some time. And our prayer is that not only would there be revival in Iran, but we're praying for that the Jewish people would recognize that their confidence and trust and faith is not in their weapons, is not in their military, but it is in the hands of a holy God who loves them, who came to the world to give his life for them. And our prayer is that they would turn to Yeshua HaMashiach in saving faith, that they might be born again before the horrible days of the tribulation come, as Revelation 6 through 19 tells us. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of what's going on. So that's kind of what we know in a nutshell, as best we can know. Obviously, this military operation is going to continue for a period of time. The president said the other day 4 weeks. Now he's up to say 4 to 5 weeks. So Iran has no clue what they're really up against. The might and power of the United States military is unprecedented and unmatched in the world. And so this situation, even though they're crazily firing ballistic missiles even this day as we speak, this thing's going to get finished in a few days or weeks, and they're going to leave Iran, A, in rubble, B, without any possibility of returning to a threat to the entire world, which they have been now ever since 1979, I guess it is.
Yeah. Okay, Gary, let me ask you this from a Bible prophecy standpoint. Mm-hmm. Obviously, we don't know when the Lord's coming back, but Ezekiel 38 and 39, that speaks to it speaks about Iran and the armies coming from the north. So Iran can't be decimated forever. It might be decimated for a time, but it's going to come back to being a prominent player in the end time. So how do you see that?
Well, first of all, and of course, that's the next thing that we know. We know the end of this is that in Ezekiel 38, in verse 2, we're told that Gog, which is a Hebrew word Rosh, which means head of Magog, which has been identified as the ancient Scythians who lived around the Black Sea and so forth in the Caucasus Mountains, and this is modern day, the Magogians are the modern day Russians. So we've got a leader of Russia who leads a coalition of Islamic nations, beginning in verse 5 with Persia, number 1. And so in 1935, you know, Persia became the Islamic Republic of Iran. And then you've got Kush, which is the southern part of Africa, Put, which is the northern part of Africa, which would take in Algeria, Tunisia, Morocco, and so forth and so on. And then you've got, of course, Gomer, which is the stand countries that broke away from Russia when communism fell, and that is Afghanistan, Kazakhstan, Uzbekistan, and Ukraine, so forth and so on. So then it goes to the fact that you've got Batugama, which is Turkey. And I must tell everybody, we need to keep our eye on Erdogan in Turkey. He's an avowed Islamist, and he wants to be the head over all of the Middle East now that the mullahs are going to be gone in Iran. So here's the deal, and what you said is exactly right. Iran, as we know it militarily, is going to be decimated, but this is only a temporary situation because they are going to be a player, and they're being named first after Magog, Russia, is no accident. God knows what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. So we got to keep our eyes on, because we know that this is going to come. Now, also, it's interesting to know in verses 8 and verse 14 in Ezekiel 38, it talks about how these people, these unsuspecting people, are dwelling in safety. Now, the bottom line is, this is not the word shalom. It's a word that actually in the Hebrew means a relative safety. And if you think about what the Jewish people went through for 2,000 years separated from their land, where they were constantly under attack and they were constantly being killed and so forth and so on everywhere they went. When the 1948 came about and Israel became a nation and they have their own IDF or military forces now, they've been living in relative safety in spite of the fact that they have fought war after war after war, uprisings in Lebanon and on and on and on it goes. But still, their military has, you know, provided a form of safety. So it doesn't mean that there is an absence of the possibility of safety. The Hebrew does not indicate that. But it does mean that they are in a time of relative safety. So we've been watching that since 48. We know that with the decimation of Iran's ability to be a threat to the world from a terrorist standpoint, and by the way, the largest funder, when you cut the head off the snake, that means the funds that have been going to Hezbollah, Hamas, the Houthis, et cetera, all of that goes away for a time being. Now, We know that they were producing about 100,000 ballistic missiles a month in Iran. That's a lot of damage. Now, That's going to be going away. But again, how long will it take them to, you know, to rebuild this? So the real question is, A, who's going to rise to the top and take charge there? We don't know that for sure. We think the son of the former Shah of Iran may be a contender. We don't know. But the bottom line, what we do know ultimately is, as you said a moment ago, they are not done. They're going to come back. The word of God is certain. It will come to pass. It's only a matter of time. Now, the good news for me and you, and whether or not many of our listeners would agree with this, I'm thoroughly convinced, based on my study of the word of God, that the church gets taken out of the world in the rapture prior to this conflict, because I believe that this conflict that is spoken of in 38 and 39, this all-out Islamic attack on Israel, only takes place when, after the church is gone. The greatest supporter of Israel in the world is the evangelical community worldwide, and especially in America. Mm-hmm. And if we're raptured out of the way, it's the perfect opportunity to open a door for this conflict, because they can look then and say, nobody's going to come to their aid now. We can wipe them out forever. And they'll launch the attack. God is going to intervene, as chapter 39 tells us, with a great earthquake, and some indications are that even it sounds like a nuclear explosion takes place, but simply because of the burial procedures that are put forth in the next, as they bury the dead for 7 months and so forth, and use a quote-unquote weapon of warfare for 7 years. We know that a spent nuclear device emits energy for a period, interestingly enough, of 7 years. We also know that the procedure used, it's spelled out in Ezekiel, concerning that if you see a bone, you put a marker by it, then the burying group comes and bury them. Well, why is that? Well, all of that's outlined in the Department of Defense procedures for biological, chemical, and nuclear warfare. Exactly those steps that are outlined in that procedure are what the Bible describes in Ezekiel. So we know that all this is coming. The second thing we know is this, is that in the following or aftermath of the departure of the church, this conflict takes place. But what that does further is the massive departure of people from the world instantaneously, coupled with this mass destruction in the land of Israel of the Islamic armies, is the catapult that casts the Antichrist, the man of sin, into a position with a plan for world peace. And that's what my latest book really is all about. It's called The Event, The Dream of World Peace Realized. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we are. And all I can tell you is that I'm still listening for the trumpet every day, as I've been doing for many years and continue to do so. We continue to keep our eye on Israel as the center of God's universe. And we know that God is going to always keep, he's going to fulfill and keep all of his promises.
Amen to that. Well, we are praying. We're commanded to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. I can hear you, Gary. We need to continue to pray in this situation. For some reason, he can't hear us, Randy. But that was Gary Frazier, my guest today. We're going to see if we can get him back on for another segment to talk through some things, especially the rise of Islam in America Should we be concerned about that? I would say yes, we need to be concerned about that. And we need to pray for our Muslim neighbors and friends. They are deceived. Islam is a satanic religion. They are deceived. They're not enemies. They're our mission field. But we need to pray that God would open their eyes to the truth. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And we are up against a break, but we'll be right back, hopefully with more Gary Frazier. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're talking to my friend Dr. Gary Frazier, author, speaker, and prominent Bible prophecy and Middle East expert. Gary has written extensively on the second coming of Jesus Christ and on conflict, the conflict in the Middle East. And so, Gary, I want to talk to you. I know you don't have a whole lot of time, but I want to talk to you about the rise of Islam in America and how, you know, Mondami is now the mayor of New York City and, you know, openly Muslim and promoting Islam and those kinds of things. Is that something that you think we should be concerned about as a nation?
Well, certainly, Jeff, I will tell you what happened. First of all, our listeners need to understand that there are only two missionary religions in the world, and that is Christianity and Islam. Number two, they need to understand that Islam can never dwell peacefully among any other group. You're either a Muslim or you are you're going to suffer servitude or death, one or the other. And so the situation is that under Bill Clinton, we threw the doors open to the Muslim world and said, y'all come, and they did. And they flooded our culture in the following years. And then, of course, that has been heightened. That has never really actually slowed down. And there are two groups of Muslims that people need to be aware of. First of all, we have a group of Muslims who fled the oppression of Islamic countries and came to America desiring freedom. And they're people who work hard, who want to raise their families. They desire the things that Americans have desired, and that is the American dream. Unfortunately, they're in the minority, because the second group is the ones who came here on a mission. And their mission is to come in and to build mosques and to establish Islam and lure the unsuspecting, uninformed American into their web to believe that these people are just A-OK. Well, just let me remind them that the bottom line happened on 9/11 when Muslims simply said to the people employed at the airport, you will either place these box cutters on these specific flights or the heads of your children will be in a basket on your front porch the next day. They did what they were told to do because they know that these Muslims are bloodthirsty killers, and that's exactly what they did on 9/11. So the bottom line here is, do we fear the Muslim people? No, we don't fear, because God has not given us a spirit of fear,
right.
But we have a healthy respect for the danger that they present to our democratic freedoms, our rights and privileges that come from the Creator God, which they do not recognize. And so we have so many cultures today in Michigan, Minnesota. I got to tell you, I was in Dearborn, Michigan not long ago. It's more Muslim than almost any Middle Eastern country I've ever been in. They are a threat to our freedoms, and we need to understand the seriousness of this, and we need to realize that we need to take positive steps. Love them, share the gospel with them, but understand they are not on the same page with our freedoms as Americans.
Yeah, that's for sure. Well, Gary, I know you got a Bible study to teach, and so I appreciate you coming on to the program.
Well,
you're always
a
blessing, my friend.
Being a part of it. Well, we love you, buddy. Thank God for what you're doing. Keep it up. Lord bless. Have a wonderful day.
Thank you. God bless. Well, I wanted to play a clip from Tommy Robinson. He's a British commentator, and he's talking along those same lines of what Gary was just saying about Islam doesn't play ball. Now, they may attach themselves to a socialist agenda, like Mondami says he's an Islamic socialist. Well, they'll use socialism to get to power, and then they'll dump that because it's all about the Muslim faith. Islam means to submit. It means submission. And as Gary Fraser said, you're either going to become a Muslim, or you're going to become a slave to the Muslims, or you're going to be dead. They just don't. There's not room for anything else. And so this is what in a recent interview, Tommy Robinson, British commentator, had to say about the Islamic takeover of a nation.
Oh, the killing of the infidels by the sword. Would it be Islamophobic to say there's a problem right now in New York City?
You see what you need to do? He should be deported instantly. That imam should be deported instantly.
No.
And send a message to all of them, you're not going to tolerate this. Now, this is the point. I've been pretty surprised at how vocal and very confident they are in America. They're only 1%. We're 6%, they say. We're probably 12%. But look how confident they are at 1%. Look at Texas. They're planning for the future. They're planning to take Texas.
Yeah, Texas has a huge problem. The Dallas area is out of control.
They're planning to take it.
Yeah.
It's planned. They're planning to take it. 50 mosques in the last 2 years. They're planning for the future. And right now, look, not all Muslims are bad. I get that. But the peaceful Muslims are irrelevant. They're irrelevant in Syria. They're irrelevant in Afghanistan. They're irrelevant. They're not going to stop it. They're not going to save her. They're not going to save her. So you need to save yourself. And you cannot allow this to grow. There's 45 countries we can look at to learn from history. Islam has never, ever, ever, ever peacefully coexisted. They come in a small number. Once they get to a certain percent, they take over. Now, why does Britain or America or Europe think they're going to be the exception of this 1400-year history? It's the same book. It's the same Islam. It's the same teachings. It's the same Islam that governs Sharia law or governs Saudi Arabia, these totalitarian states. It's the same Islam in America.
So that was Tommy Robinson, British commentator. It makes some great points. So if you say, well, you know, it's only 10% of people that are 10% Muslims that are radical. Well, I pointed out yesterday, there are roughly 2 billion Muslims in the world. Okay, 10% is 200 million. 200 million who are okay with strapping bombs on themselves or on their kids and having them go out into a schoolyard and blow people up. That's a big concern. Their thinking is not like our thinking. And Islam is incompatible with American ideals. It's definitely incompatible with Christianity. It has nothing to do with Christianity, although they may try and incorporate some things, and they talk about Abraham, and they talk about Jesus. But it's the devil's religion. And so the peaceful Muslims they're like liberal Christians. The liberal progressive Christians don't stand for anything, right? They cheer the LGBTQIA+ agenda. They're you know, the rainbow flag group, and you know, they're cheering for abortion. Jesus would be for abortion. It's just sickening. It's like, well, that's not Christianity. And so being a peaceful Muslim is really not, you're really not practicing Islam the way Muhammad practiced Islam, because Muhammad was on the move. He was a conqueror, a warrior. He was killing people. He was taking multiple wives and doing terrible, horrible things. And so that's what those guys do that are radical. We call them radical Muslims. The regime in Iran, radical Muslims, and funding terrorism and beating women. And, you know, women are slaves. So that at the start of that clip, you heard, I didn't play the part with Mondami being sworn in and the imam who was chanting over him. Well, he was chanting over him phrases about, you know, wishing harm on America, things like that. That's what they're talking about. And that's why that guy said that that imam should be deported immediately. He's no friend to America. He's an enemy to America. You know, we've had that. Even Bill Maher has commented on that. I think it was in Dearborn, Michigan, where you have such a strong Islamic population. They chant death to America in America. Well, good grief. If you want America to die, then you need to get out. That doesn't work. You know, you can't be on the team if you want the team to lose. That's a no-brainer. And so, hey, you hate America? Charlie Kirk used to love to get on college campuses and ask, you know, these students that would get in his face, yeah, I hate America. Said, well, when are you going to leave America? Well, I have no plans to leave America. He said, that shows the greatness of America. You know, America, you hate it, yet you won't leave it. And so that's game, set, match, boom, mic drop. Because that's the way it is. You say you hate it, but you're not wanting to leave it. And Gary Fraser pointed out something that I hadn't really thought about before in quite these terms. There are only two, quote unquote, religions. Christianity is not a religion, but there are only, we would call it that just for argument's sake, only two religions that are proselytizing, that are trying to reach out and get more converts, Christianity and Islam. And the both are aggressive, and we are supposed to be aggressive. Our job on this earth as Christians is to be the Lord's witnesses, to go and make disciples. Well, that's what they're doing too, to go and make disciples. You say, and as the, in history, they would conquer a place, and they would say, you know, you need to confess your faith, and there is one God, Allah, and Muhammad is his prophet. And you need to repeat that, and you need to become a Muslim, or you're going to become our slave, or you will be dead. And that's how Islam grew. And the Crusades that President Obama used to like to say, hey, Christians, you guys were just as bad. Look at the Crusades. Well, the Crusades were a response to the onslaught of Islam and the marching forth of Islam. It's like, wait a minute, we're going to fight you. We're not going to let you just take over. So we need to be praying. We need to be aware of what is going on. As they mentioned, Texas, you know, Epic City has been discussed, and an Islamic city, and we know that people in Muslim families, they have lots and lots of children. And I've heard different imams and other Islamic leaders say, you know, we don't have to do anything other than come into America and start having, you know, 8 kids, 10 kids, 12 kids. You guys are having one or two children, and we're having 10. We're exceeding your output or your production 10 times. And so just give us enough time, and there'll be more of us than there are of you, and we'll just take over that way. So what is the answer? Well, we need to pray, and we need to be on fire witnesses for the Lord Jesus. And we need to know, as Gary Fraser said, we don't need to be afraid. And I hate this when we talk, well, you're homophobic, you're Islamophobic, you're transphobic. Well, I'm not afraid of any of those things. In any of those people. But I'm aware that that's a danger and that's a problem. And so if you don't understand that it's a problem, then you're going to be duped by their lies. And we need to, you know, up front, the idea that, you know, we're a country of immigrants and we just take in all these immigrants. Well, we might have taken in a lot of people. We did take in a lot of people when America began, but it's people that were coming into the melting pot, and they were saying, I want to be American, and I want to, you know, go after the American dream. It's not, I'm coming in here with my ideology that I'm going to force upon this city and this state and this nation. That's what we have today, and get in on all the freebies. I think it was Milton Friedman who said, you know, before, he picked a particular date. He said before people would come to America, they're not getting anything from the government. They're going for an opportunity to achieve. And to, if I put forth the effort, if I apply myself, America has opportunities afforded to me. I'm not looking to for America to, you know, sit in my on my bed and just collect checks. But that's what's happening now. I can get on all these freebies. I can get welfare. I can get this and that, and free this, free that, free the other. And so then people want to flock here. And that has been pointed out. Elon Musk and others have pointed that out. Yeah, that, how do you get a bunch of people to come to your nation? You give away the store, and then you want them to become citizens so that they can vote, and then you are going to have a one-party state, a one-party country. And that's what has hopefully been thwarted by President Trump. And he is doing, in my estimation, not everything right. Nobody does everything right. But he's doing a good job for America. And people hate him for it. As Rush Limbaugh said, Washington can't afford for Trump to succeed because then the jig is up. If an outsider like Trump can fix messes that politicians have promised and promised and promised for decades and decades and decades and failed, and if he can come in and fix them in pretty short order, then the people will never vote establishment again, and that's why they are against him, said Rush Limbaugh. Very astute. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, and we are close to a break. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And let me just say before we go to break, I want to tell you about the Activate Summit 2026. It's July 16th through the 18th at Cadence Bank Conference Center in beautiful Tupelo, Mississippi. The Activate Kids program for ages 6 through 12. The cost is $175 for main session, ages 13 and up, and $75 for Activate Kids, ages 6 through 12. And it's free for children 5 and under. No child care provided, so children 5 and under will remain with parents throughout the conference. I am looking forward to being there along with Jessica Peck, Dr. Nurse Mama. I was on her program yesterday. And she's going to be talking about AI and the dangers of AI and how parents need to be aware of AI. And I'm going to be talking about marriage and family in this generation in which we live, the culture in which we live. How can you have a good, solid, healthy, vibrant marriage and family with all the temptations that are out there today? So check it out. Activate Summit 2026. We'll be right back after the break.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. And as is our practice, we like to open the phone lines in the last segment to hear from our listeners. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I'd love to hear from you. If you have a Bible question, doesn't necessarily have to be what we've been talking about earlier, but it can be, obviously. That's the theme. We're talking about what's going on in Iran. We're talking about today being an important day in America as we vote. And so we want to encourage people to get out there and vote. Listen, it is your responsibility as a citizen of the United States to vote. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render to God the things that are God, Jesus said. Well, Caesar is our government. Our government wants us to vote. That's why you have all these ads. That's why I've been getting all these mailers from people. They want you to vote. Obviously, they want you to vote a particular way, but they want your vote. And so we need to render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Make a good, informed vote. And if you say, I don't know who to vote for, well, go to ivoterguide.com, ivoterguide.com, and the American Family Association can help you see what the candidates stand for, who is for what on the issues, and so that you can make an informed vote. And pray James 1:5. If any of you lacks wisdom, Lord, I lack wisdom in knowing how to vote for these things. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Well, we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, it's good talking to you again, brother. Yeah, it's just the same kind of thing that you've been sounding out, and the gentleman you had on. I just think that there aren't very many pastors with everything that's going on that preach against the culture. And I think it's a disservice to their congregation. I say this because we've talked in the past. I don't know that you remember, but we talked about, and I had to leave the church I was at because my pastor refused to preach on politics. But as somebody we're now watching online says, the society made everything biblical, political. And if you refuse to teach about the biblical, then you're refusing. And it's sad because they're not understanding. There are so many organizations out there that are willing to have churches invite them in to teach on Islam and what it is. I mean, most people I talk to don't even know that they're commanded by Taqiyya to lie to the infidel. And it's sad. But it's just frustrating. But I know, I tell my kids, we can be frustrated, but the hope is that the king is on the throne and that we know how it ends. And through all things, he is faithful to his followers. And that's all I want to say. I just think that if there are pastors out there listening, I'm praying for them, but I'm praying that they will open up their eyes, so to speak, and not care about their congregants and how many numbers they draw in, but that they care about the souls that come, and they just preach the word and let the word and spirit move. I'm going to let you go, brother. Thank you for your time.
Hey, I appreciate that, Jerry. It's a good word. Yeah, so I've had people in the past say to me, you know, just talk about the love of Jesus and, you know, don't call anybody out and don't call anybody by name, you know, as it relates to a false teacher. And you know, you don't want to run down somebody else's religion, which I don't think I've ever done that. But, you know, that's they interpret it that way. If you speak badly about Hinduism or, you know, Islam, they get upset about that, and they're like, "Well, just why do you have to do that? Just leave those things alone." It's like people need to know that. So we need to know what those other groups believe in, and where they're headed, and what their end game is. And listen, you know, we love to kind of think that, well, it's just live and let live, and everybody's a quote unquote a good person, you know, deep down in their heart. They're not. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, not even one, not even one. And so we need to know what these groups believe in, because there is the truth and there's everything else. And Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. I still remember that interview or the program that Oprah Winfrey did some years ago, where she was talking about many roads to heaven. And one of the ladies got up and said, that's just not right. Just because you say that doesn't mean it's right. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus. And Oprah's like, well, that can't be right. That can't be. I just see too many other religions out there, so it what you're saying, John 14:6, can't be true. And that is viewing Scripture through the eyes of culture. People do it all the time. And we've said repeatedly on Real Truth for Today, you have to view culture through the lens of Scripture. And mom and dad, you have to teach your child and your children how to view the culture through the lens of Scripture. I was on Jessica Peck's program, Dr. Nurse Mama, yesterday, and we were talking about what is needed with for parents to instill in their children, because they grow up, you know, they're seeing terrible things, and they're bombarded with all sorts of lies and transgender insanity and all this stuff. And, you know, they hear from mainstream media that unless you're just opening the borders and letting all these people in, you don't really love people. You're not like Jesus. And they always go to the parable in Matthew 25 of the sheep and the goats. They don't understand what that's all about. But hey, whatsoever you do to the least of my brothers, that you do unto me. And we feed the sick and we or feed the hungry and help the sick and clothe the naked. And that's what Christianity is all about. And that's how you get to heaven, is by doing those things. Well, the people that quote that stuff, they don't have any idea how that fits in. That's an end times parable that has to do with Israel and the nations, and how the nations treated Israel during the tribulation period. No one ever earns his way into heaven. And so if you feed the hungry and clothe the naked and help the hurting and the sick, that's not going to get you to heaven. Where in the Bible does that say that gets you to heaven? That's evidence. And that's the purpose of the parable in Matthew 25. That's evidence of genuine faith. As James said, faith without works is dead, being by itself. Show me your faith without the works, and I'll show you my faith with the works. And so this is what I had mentioned yesterday to Jessica, Dr. Jessica Peck. We need to train our kids as parents to have the mindset of a soldier. As Paul told Timothy, suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. Soldiers know that they're in battle. Soldiers know that this is not going to be easy. Soldiers know that I'm not going to a day at the beach. This is not a day of rest at the spa where I'm going to get a back massage. They know it's going to be tough. And we're here as soldiers for the Lord Jesus Christ. We're his witnesses, and we need to be willing to suffer hardship. And we need to know, as the old song says, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And we are citizens of heaven, and we are eagerly awaiting, Philippians chapter 3, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And what happens when he comes? It says that he's going to transform the body of our humble state into conformity with the body of his glory through the exertion of the power that he has, even to subject all things to himself. So I think that the more we start thinking like soldiers, and the more we instill in our children, hey, listen, you're in the Lord's army, and you're a soldier for the Lord Jesus Christ, and we're here for one main purpose, and that is to witness, to speak the truth in love, and to witness to a lost and dying generation. And get the Noah picture in your mind, as he knew that judgment was coming, and he's building this ark, and he knows that salvation is only in this ark. And I'm here to tell you, I'm speaking for Noah, I'm here to tell you, gang, that judgment is coming, but you can be saved through this ark. And the ark is a picture of Jesus. And this world is going down. And the only refuge and the only Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you put your faith and trust in anything else, it will fail, because Jesus is the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. Well, we have Marty on the line from Iowa. Marty, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you, Pastor Jeff. And see, my comment is not meant to embarrass you. I tell everyone that you are my national pastor, I cannot say how much I love you. I've never got to meet you. Someday in heaven, we'll be together forever. And if I ever get to Texarkana, I will meet you.
For
but
sure.
In Iowa, Jeff, I cannot say enough about how the Holy Spirit, it's like, you are my brother, and I love your attitude about everything's black and white. There's really no gray areas. And I just love that about you, and I love the people that you bring on, and I just can't say enough about you. I tell everybody, you are my national pastor, even though I love my local pastor desperately. But I just wanted you to know that.
Well, that means so much to me, Marty. I appreciate that, and you are a great encourager, brother, and the Lord bless you and continue to keep you as you stand up and speak the truth. You know, that's what we're supposed to do. We just speak the truth in love. We let the chips fall where they may. People are going to respond the way they respond. That's not on us. That's on them. What's on us, as it says in the book of Ezekiel, hey, you're a watchman on the wall. And if you don't sound the alarm and those people are taken, you know, they're destroyed by the enemy, well, their blood's on your hands because you knew and you didn't say anything. And so I don't want to be one that comes before the Lord saying, well, Lord, I knew, but I didn't say anything because I was afraid. We got to get past that. And we got to say, okay, Lord, maybe I'm afraid, but I'm going to fix my eyes on you. I'm going to do what you say to do. And I'm going to trust you with the results. Not everybody's going to love it. They hated it when Jesus did it. Jesus said to his brothers, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its deeds are evil. And so if we, especially as preachers and teachers of the Word of God, if we don't testify to the church or testify from the church that the deeds of the world are evil and God is going to judge that, well, we're not walking in his steps. We're not doing what he's called us to do. Now, obviously, we're not the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit has to do its work, but it's our job to share the truth and to speak the truth in love and to let people know, hey, this is the judgment, but here's the good news. God has grace for those who will come to him. And the invitation from the Lord, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And so that's available to every single person. I think it's very telling that almost the last few verses of the Bible are an invitation. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. I've said many, many times that God doesn't want to judge. The Father did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, to condemn the world, but that the world should be saved through him. God wants to save. The Lord says in Ezekiel 18:32, do I take pleasure in the death of anyone who dies? No. Therefore, repent and live. So, Marty, thank you so much, my friend. God bless you. And what city do you live in?
I'm in Sioux City, Iowa, where I run around. I'm a truck driver, and I run all over the town all day long.
What are you delivering?
LTL freight. Ain't less than load. I'm not an over-the-roader. I'm a local. It would be like UPS without packages. It's pallets.
Okay. Yeah. Do you work for a company, or are you independent?
Yeah. Expo Freight.
All right.
XPO Freight. You see them all over where you're at down there, too. We're nationwide.
Well, it would be it'd be an honor for me to get to meet you one day if you ever make it to Texarkana.
That, and I'm also trying, I really want to get down to the Share-a-thons, and I know you make it there, too, so I'm praying that would work out someday.
Yeah, that's coming up in April. Very good. Well, hey, just know that you've blessed me today, Marty. I really appreciate it.
Well, you do me every day, my friend, so thank you.
Thank you so much. Well, God bless you. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. And later this week, I'm going to welcome to the program a good friend of mine, Dr. Dean Sieberhagen, he and I were in seminary together. He's a professor at Southwestern Seminary. He's been to Iran a number of times, done mission trips there in Iran. He has a good perspective on the regime versus the people. And as you know, 81% of the people of Iran hate the regime that they're under. And they're praising President Trump, thanking President Trump for bringing deliverance to them. As I said yesterday, with their supreme leader dead, they're singing Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, Witch Oh Witch, the Wicked Witch, that song from The Wizard of Oz. They are grateful and thankful. So let me encourage you to pray for those people and pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.